this episode. We hope it is a blessing. And welcome to Brethren in Devotion.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Brethren in Devotion. Today, I am with John Garrett. How are you, John?
I'm great. Good morning.
We are live at Pianezza.
Pianezza. It's just a place with good food.
Good food, good friends, great company, and my personal favorite sauce, because John makes the best sauce ever, and I'm saying that from the heart. I've tried many places, and I'm like, when I go to pizza places, for me, it's about the sauce. You know, a lot of people look for different things. I look for the sauce, and personally, you have the best tomato sauce ever. So thank you for doing this a reality. I know last time where you were with me, we were talking about making this place a reality. Today, we are recording in it, seeing the fruit of your work and your vision and your dreams. So I'm honored to be here with you, just sharing this lifestyle and seeing this come to life, man. And it has become a favorite, man. I've been here in the last 2 weeks, like 3 or 4 times.
one of our regulars, man, for sure.
Yeah, man. But tell us, John, how's this whole experience has been since the last time we saw you and talked to you about, you were talking about the logos and the menus and all that, but now it's all done, so.
Yeah, man, it's been wild. It's been wild, and actually, like you and I, we were just talking about Ecclesiastes before we kicked this off, Ecclesiastes makes me think about life cycles, you know? And that's where we're at now, is like seeing a certain part of this, like this life cycle come to fruition. And, I have 4 kids, so I can remember those moments where the joy of everything you've just walked through is now in your hands, right? Mm-hmm. And they're still tiring and tiresome.
Yes.
And you're not fully understanding it all because you've physically, emotionally, mentally been through just about more than life can handle naturally, right?
That's true.
And so that's where we are with this place. I mean, we're sitting here. We've just opened. It's 2 weeks yesterday. And, we've been through a process that in many ways has been like giving birth. In fact, the decision to say go on this was the beginning of November of last year. So that's December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. And if you count the time in October when the Lord spoke to us, from then, that's 9 months. So wow. It's felt like that, you know? It's felt like that. It's been a long process. It's been amazing. We're still touching things up that other people don't see, and it's kicking our butts in some ways.
Yeah.
But my goodness, like, we're also getting to hold the baby in our arms. So, I feel like I felt after we had our 4 kids, I feel totally exhausted. I feel totally overwhelmed at times. Not able to emotionally cope very well because of those factors.
Yeah.
But at the same turn, just in awe of what God has done.
Definitely, man.
This thing came out more beautiful than if he let me sketch it. And that's because of what he's done. So, yeah, man, I'm grateful. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be in this place.
That's something I've seen. I've seen you just grow into this, you know, making it your own, and that for me is a testimony, because you just followed the voice of the Lord and you just did this. And you know, I think our life choices is what make us who we are. It's not about what we can perform into it, but hearing and obeying in whatever direction that means. And I've seen that in your life, in your family's life. I've seen your wife hand to hand with you, your kids here. Because before you opened, we come a few times and your whole family was here. making this place happen. It's that unity of the family and just doing it together, which is way better than you trying to do everything by your own, plus keeping a family and, you know what I mean. But it's been, I think the whole process has been a testimony. And for me, it's like the last time you were with me, you were talking about God's provision. And now it's not only about God's provision, but the work through that provision and to bring you into this place and just seeing all this happen. It is really encouraging and it's like a big testimony for our host church as well. John, tell me a little bit. So I've seen your daughter work here, and it was funny because last time I came, she was eating on the corner there, and she was saying, "Oh, I just got out of my shift." And I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah.
So how's the family integrating into all this?
Oh, it's been a huge adjustment. I mean, sometimes they love the idea more than they love the actual execution, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it actually requires work. It's interesting because my daughter Eliana has had a little bit of an allergic reaction.
Oh.
And we're not sure if it's something that's in here. So it's kind of limited our ability to actually be in here. And then on top of it, you've got so many people who are trying to share in this with you that at times it's hard to manage because the business is a newborn, so it requires a ton of attention. And it's like that, I mean, that's what it feels like. It feels like those first few days in the hospital where everybody wants to come visit and they want to see the baby and you want them to, and your heart is to give it to them. But there are times where you're just like, I'm sorry. Like, I just need to sleep. Like, I just need to close the doors and tuck away. And in a business, you can't do that. Like, the point is to have the doors open. But emotionally, it feels like that. So we're managing that as a family. Like, this is totally new for us. We've been, I don't know if you guys heard that, but that was the soda machine grumbling behind us, not our bellies. but we've been trying to figure out how to manage the new speed, everything, and this is a promise the Lord spoke to us. So, no matter how emotionally spent you felt, or no matter like the challenges of Eliana seeming to struggle with some allergic reaction, it doesn't make a difference, like, because we know the word that got us here, so we know there's provision to walk through it all. And it's been interesting to watch the kids take their roles. My two older daughters are working, whenever they can. My wife jumps in and whenever she can, but we've got the two little ones too, so she has to manage them, they come in and I'm not stable enough in here yet where they can come in and know what they're free to do and what they're not free to do, because I'm consumed by every piece. I'm having to hold every employee's hand still. So when my family comes in to hold their hand, and it's difficult, but we're working that out and there's grace for it, and we're watching the Lord like lead us through. And I think school's actually going to help. Like, when school starts in two weeks, it's going to give the kids something else to be consumed with, where this will become more of a luxury. It'll become more of a respite for them than right now. Sometimes they don't really know their place when they come in here yet, And that's for all of us. We're all still trying to figure that out. So.
Yeah, of course.
It's just the adjustment period, man. It's that first few weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm loving it. Sometimes when we do something new, it's that period of adjustment and just trying to figure out how to make it a routine that doesn't consume us, I believe, right? For example, when I started doing this, this has been a challenge for me because, first of all, I'm not a social person. Second of all, although I know a lot of recording in a music studio, to go to live places and adjust to that is totally different. But I see the fruit of that For example, last Friday, I always receive a weekly email from the podcast channel, and it says, this is so many people downloading and listening. And
yeah.
The thing is, I haven't done one of these like in a month because I've been so busy, and it grows constantly.
Wow.
And I'm not doing any of that because I'm not promoting. I'm not, you know,
sure.
I'm not putting my work into the way that it's supposed to, like other people do, but it is the reaction of obedience.
Sure.
Because the Lord was the one that said, do this. So I started doing it, and he's taking care of the people that is listening to this.
Yep.
And what I'm trying to say with all this is I see the same thing with your business. You know, you heard the voice of God. You felt this is the right way to go forward in your life. You did it. And now you're seeing people coming in and leaving reviews. Like we were talking before we started.
Yeah.
I asked you about what was the reaction of people and how were they, you know, reacting to this place. And,
and
you talk about the feedbacks and right now you're the number one pizzeria rated in Orlando. And all those things come not because only your hard work, but it's the, that part of obedience, of being aligned with the will of the Lord, right? And for me, I think this has been the whole situation when I saw you come from a year ago to this is a whole testimony for me. Not something that you have to speak, but something that I can see in your life, in your family's life, in how the house church has come together to see this place. And, you know, all those things bring us to the understanding of what's happening between our lives.
Yeah.
Which is not something that would have happened in any other environment, but it's because we have become a community, because we have become more than just a simple church.
Sure.
We see the reaction of being aligned with the will of the Lord and just walking together. And it just reminds me of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Because yesterday when I was meditating about meeting you and talking to you, the Lord brought this together and he started whispering one part of this whole passage, which has been in my heart for years because, I mean, I'm still trying to understand fully what it means because it just, every time I read it, it brings something new. But when I started a couple of podcasts ago talking with people, the Lord brought me from an introductory part to going deep into things.
Yeah.
And I got together with Norbert and we talk about stillness. And then I talk with Daniel Marinoshenko and we talk about the identity of the loving father. And when I was thinking what we should talk about today, it was all about time and the fulfillment of time in our lives when we are aligned with the will of God.
Yeah, man.
So, like I said, the Lord started whispering to me, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm going to read it real quick out of the New Living Translation. And it says like this, the title is A Time for Everything.
Yeah.
And it says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time and build up, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and time to throw away, a time to tear and time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time to war and a time for peace. So what do people really get for all the hard work? All have seen the burden of God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded that there's nothing better, than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat, should drink, and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added or nothing can be taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear Him. What is happening now has happened before, and what will happen in the future has happened before, because God makes the same things happen over and over again. And man, I've been for years on these words. It's not even funny, man, but I don't want to say that everything is predestined, but I know for sure that God is absolute. And what I mean by that is the Bible said that God is all-powerful, that He is ever-present, right? That He is in every place at all times. And one of the things that I've learned when I was in the year of consecration that I took is that the Lord let me saw His raw spirit. And when I saw that, I saw many things that I don't fully understand, because I'm seeing that in the spirit and I don't think my being can comprehend what I saw there. But one of the things that I saw is the state of eternity that God lives in, which is, to make a long explanation short, what I saw was the Spirit of God spinning so fast that appeared to be still. So it's the same thing as we put any object into spinning, right? If it spins so fast, you see a still picture. And when I was seeing that, I was seeing God transforming into creation, into people, into animals, into plants. It's like an ever-changing spirit that it just resembles everything that He has created. And when I saw that, it let me understand a little bit about time, because the Lord started explaining to me when I was laying down my eschatology, the Lord took me to understand prophecy differently. And He said, people misunderstand prophecy and the way that I see things because they don't understand time. He said, time is not a dimension. Time is one of my identities that serves as a witness of everything that I have created. Which makes sense, because it says in the Bible that the beginning started when the expression of the living God was in front of Him. So pretty much the first time that God multiplicated into Himself, that's where time started. And at the end in the book of Revelation says that time will end when we are one with Christ again. So, I mean, for me it makes sense now, but it's taken me almost a whole year to see the picture, and I'm sure that we're not even scratching the surface of what that means. But for what we're talking about today, I think it's very important. Because, like I said, I don't believe time is just a dimension or something that is separate from God, but everything that God created is part of God in a way or another, because it carries the essence of God. Because the essence of God is life itself, right? So when I was just meditating in all these things and coming back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I mean, this was Solomon talking, and he's saying there is a time for everything. And you know, everything means everything. So from beginning to end, all the aspects of our lives, I mean, there's going to be some type of degree that we need to experience, either if it's good, either if it's bad, whatever it is. We have to experience it, because that's part of what makes our life complete, you know? And although we try to position ourselves in a place that we're trying to do most good things or to behave in the best of our ability to be holy, I've need to come to understand that holiness doesn't come from anything that we can do personally, because there's no performance that we can do that will ever surpass the performance that Jesus did. And I mean, that's part of his glory, to know that no man can ever match his lifestyle in terms of the physical things that we can do, although we can rely on the strength of what he has already accomplished in the spirit. I mean, that for me is the grace part of all this. Yeah. And where I'm trying to go with all this is, when we lay a solid foundation of what time is, then we can understand what God wants us to do with it. Because time is a gift in our flesh. What we experience is the moment that we are born until we die. There's a life full of good things, full of bad things, full of experience and life and joy and fear and death. And, you know, everything that Solomon mentions here is just the completion of cycles, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest. It's cycles, you know? And I believe that what we live in this life as what we have experienced is more of the experiences that comes from hearing and obeying God instead of trying to perform to live a holy life, if that makes sense. And I'm sorry, I don't want to lose you in this rabbit hole, but I mean, I just feel that the reason why the Lord started laying a foundation of time in my life is to view things properly. Because he said the foundation of prophecy is time. And time is a witness of everything that I've done. You know, when we talk about the things that the Lord is doing and has done, one of my favorite verses, I'm going to try to find it real quick, is Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, I believe. Let me make sure of this. Yeah. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. That is the Lord speaking. You know, and this is the way that I finally understood time, and it's by the things that I said in the beginning about God being absolute. You know, for us, time is linear, right? But for God, he just lives in the center of a circle, and he can look to whatever way he wants. But it's not like us, that we need to choose one part of the circle or the other. He can look to all parts of the circle.
At the same time.
At the same time.
And he can touch them all at the same time too.
Because he is present at all parts of it. Yeah. So it's so amazing to me, the absolute being of God, and just being present, knowing that sometimes when we fail, we think that it's a point of failure in our lives, right? That's what we feel. But God is present in that moment of failure, but it's also in the moment where we come out of it and that breakthrough. And he's in both times celebrating us because he knows that path is going to take you where we need to go, you know? And the reason why I'm saying that is because sometimes when we are in new processes, like you in this restaurant, me, what I'm going through, we think that, or at least I think, that sometimes I'm failing in something. But the reality is that this process is necessary for me to get wherever I need to go. And although, like you said before, this feels like this is a new baby and it's consuming our time, it's consuming our strength and everything that is within us, right? God is not only seeing the process that is taking us to get there, but it's also waiting at the end to celebrate with us what we did under that obedience, right? I don't know, man. You have any comments or?
We're hungry creatures, bro. Like, I just think about, as you're talking, we are we're generally, as human beings, unsatisfied.
Hmm.
Right? And that's the cry. Like, it's the cry of the human heart to be fully united to God. Like, to be fulfilled in all things.
Yeah.
Right? Because in our quest for satisfaction, we've got primal urges and needs.
Yeah.
Food, water, right? Like, you can even extend them out, like, sexuality.
Yeah.
Right? Like, pleasure. Like, these are primal core wants and needs of the human being.
Yeah.
And they're God-placed and God-given. But the break in this world, the disconnection from the Lord is what causes us to live generally unsatisfied. Hmm. However, with Him, all of them can be satisfied. And it's the tension between being human and being a creature of the Spirit at exactly the same time.
Yes.
That we can live totally satisfied by Him while our flesh is screaming. Right? While the body that hungers and is decaying and always needs to be fed again, you feed it and an hour later it's hungry. Like,
yep.
Like it, you know, you satisfy it in whatever way, you please it, and then it's displeased. Right? And so it's funny because just talking about what you're talking about, like, like a couple wants a child.
Yes.
Right? They're living life. They're living to the full. They're enjoying each other. There's no restraints. There's no constrictions on life. They're free. They're enjoying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's something missing. What's that thing that's missing? The ability to nurture something that's dependent on them. The ability to bring something into the world. The ability to, like, there's this desire to grow in a way that is only natural for a man and woman to do together, right? Like, it's the next step. It's
exactly.
And then what happens is you get pregnant as a couple and immediately you're limited, right? Like, okay, so we know people who push the limits of what it means to be pregnant and they're CrossFitting and doing burpees on the floor with a belly. I got it. But still, you're immediately limited from the life you just had. And for those first 9 months, the limitation comes without any satisfaction. The only satisfaction is that you've got this belly.
That's it.
Right? Like, you're more hungry, more cranky, more groggy, more unable to be satisfied, more limited than ever before, right? In more pain, sleeping less. Yet this in your belly is the satisfaction of a desire that you sought to please.
Yeah, come on.
And now you're even less pleased. Then the baby comes, and for a moment, like a split moment, that thing's in your arms. And emotionally, physically, you know, mom's nursing the baby. Like, the moment has come, the screaming, the pain, the months of agony have resulted, and there it is in your arms. And then a day later, you're exhausted. Everybody's knocking on the door. You can't satisfy everybody again. The baby can't even tell you it loves you.
Yeah.
All it can do is cry, poop, and eat.
That's it.
Right? And holding it fills that hole. Just holding it fills that hole.
Hmm.
But it's still draining more than it's giving in a natural sense.
Definitely.
And there's this, like, cycle of things that happen that way. And we go from experiencing God to hungering for God.
Yes.
To being filled by God.
Mm-hmm.
To hungering for Him, to experiencing Him, to being filled, to hungering. And it's a cycle. It's just a constant. It's the life cycle of things. And somewhere, at some point, we can grow into maturity to where we're having all of them at once.
Come on.
And we don't let the fact that maybe today's hunger is more than it was yesterday. Maybe today's hunger is more than the fulfilling. But God is with me.
That's it.
Like, He's with me. And I didn't have that yesterday. And a mature human being experiences all of them at once.
Mm-hmm.
A baby is only experiencing the need, yeah. Right? And that infantile relationship, it has no real reciprocation, except that mom and dad knows that I have a gift and that if I nurture it well, one day, it'll be my friend.
Come on.
Right? And And like, man, this is what we go through. And because we're still creatures of flesh,
yeah,
and because we're still immature, as mature as we may be, when put next to God, we're not even infants.
Yeah, we don't even scratch the surface.
Yeah, so like in the moment of our satisfaction, we're still unsatisfied. Like in the moment of fulfillment for everything God spoke in our life, we can still find areas where we're unfulfilled.
Oh yeah.
Unless we're wrapped up in Him. And like, yeah, man, like while you were talking, the scripture in Ephesians 5 came to my heart, and particularly the King James versions, whether it's new or old. Verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And it's this like God, the life that we have on this earth is that we have we are the bridges to heaven.
That's it.
God has created us as bridges to heaven. There's tension on the bridge. We're not all the way in and we're not all the way out. We're in the tension of there's troubled water underneath us.
Yep.
I see the destination and I see where I came from. We're in this place, but we're on the bridge because we've tasted and we know what heaven is because God's given us Himself and we know where we're coming from. And we're in this place where our job is to redeem.
Yes.
Like our job is to redeem first and foremost the time. First and foremost, the moments He's given us, redeem them. Like put them before Him and let Him cleanse them. Let Him make them into something good. We're agents of purification. We don't purify ourselves, but we take this dirt that God's put us on and bring it to Him constantly. And He mines out of it gold. And then the beauty is we get to enjoy it sometimes.
Yeah.
We actually, in this life, get to sometimes enjoy it. Like, you know, Ecclesiastes, it's this story of Solomon over and over again. Like hungering, tasting, and then hungering again.
Yeah.
And coming to these conclusions where if I stuff myself fast enough, maybe I'll get it. But no, only things that matter are things that God can do. So in the moment, how can I enjoy the hunger and enjoy the meal?
Yeah.
Man, the only way to do that is actually connecting to God and His people. Like those are the only eternal things that will carry on beyond this. And, you know, I think about like where I am right now. Like, you know, you talk about the year that God puts you through.
Yeah.
Man, when I was in the year of quiet with my family, it was the best and worst place.
That's
I
true.
Enjoyed the endless amount of time to sit and soak in His presence.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always a dissatisfaction. There was always a question in my heart, God, am I doing enough? Like, there was always a put me in, coach. Like, you know, God, at what point do I get to work with the stuff that You're giving me? Because
yes.
It was just a constant download, right? But a constant sitting in His presence and just enjoying Him. But at times, frustration, because there was no way to put it to use. And here I am today working in the middle of all the things He spoke to me in that year of silence and quiet.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. I hunger for the silence and quiet. We're always on a bridge in this life.
That's true.
We're always on a pathway between two places. But the thing that we have is we carry His presence. And it doesn't matter where you are on that walk, you can experience Him and you can experience life. Man, you read about others who've gone before us, who in chains, who in the midst of beatings, tasted Jesus.
Yeah, come on.
Tasted the presence of God and talked about the blessing of life
yeah.
in the midst of agony, right? Like, we're not in such a trying time.
No.
So we have to keep those things in perspective. Yeah, man, like the life cycle that is Ecclesiastes, the constant renewing and constant satisfaction of the human dissatisfaction. Solomon talks through it over and over and over again. And at times, he finds himself totally wasted. I've heard people say that, you know, Ecclesiastes is a man trying to make in his own mind an understanding of the wisdom of God.
Yes.
Right? Where Proverbs is a man trying to take the wisdom of God and introduce it to his human life.
Yes.
Right? You've got the primal viewpoint and the heavenly viewpoint. And we live in a world where both of them exist.
Exactly.
And we have to be able, by the Spirit, by surrender, by obedience, to bring those together if we're ever going to find satisfaction or peace, you know? And we have to have a bigger viewpoint. Like, we have to understand that God, he's the one that's in control of these things.
Yes.
Like you said, like he's the one that has spoken them. We're in something that at times feel like, it does feel like God's already planned this thing out. But at the same time, he's walking, like, literally organically, moment by moment, through it with us.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hear many people that say, well, why, if God is good, let bad things happen?
Yeah.
But people don't understand that we are the ones that make bad things happen, because we have free will.
Sure.
And we choose good things and we choose bad things. And like I said before, I don't think that everything is predestined per se.
Sure.
But the reason why God can tell us the future is because he is present in the past, in the present, in the future.
Yeah, man.
And no matter how we react, and no matter what choices we made, we are going to end up where he says we're going to end up. Because he's already saw it in his absolute supremacy of seeing all things at all times. And that's why he has the boldness to put it on writing, and the world reacts exactly how he predicted.
Bro, as you were just talking, did you see the Avengers movie?
The last one?
The last one.
Yeah.
Right? So the last Avengers movie, what was the name of it?
Infinity Wars.
Yes. The Wizard. They're going through the scenarios of how everything is going to play out, right? Because they're seeing, like, their judgment come. They're seeing, like, the end of time.
Yes.
And there's this moment where he, like, sits down, and in his mind, he plays out every scenario. And they're like, so what's the deal? And he's like, there's only one way. Like, there's a million ways to do this, but there's only one way through, right? And I'm paraphrasing.
No, no, yeah.
But in essence, that's what he says. Like, he says, there's only one way through this, that we can survive, that there's victory.
Yeah.
And the end of the movie ends in shambles. It looks like a total loss, right? Like, everybody have to, you know, if you haven't seen the movie yet, you're behind anyway, so I'm not worried about spoiling.
Yeah.
But, you know, but, like, half of everything is destroyed. Like, Kronos has this desire to weed out all of the useless parts of the world, right? Like, that's his mission, basically, is to cut off everything that's unnecessary.
Yeah.
So that way he can start this thing over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the wizard sees this picture, and he gets to see that there's a billion scenarios, but only one has a shot at redemption.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the Lord sees all of that.
Exactly.
And Jesus is the one. Like, he's the one shot at redemption. And it doesn't look like that sometimes. In walking with Christ, there's crosses.
Manning.
You know, like, Jesus paid the ultimate price on an ultimate cross. That means every little one we walk with will end up in life and redemption if we do it with him, if we do it in surrender. So it doesn't matter where we're seeing on the spectrum. Life, man, like, at times life is hard. Like, giving birth and the baby, like the whole process is hard. It's 9 months of figuring out how to sleep all over again, figuring out how to eat all over again, figuring out how to lay in the same bed together again. And, like, you know, it's figuring out how to pay your bills all over again. It's figuring out all of these things, how to relate to new emotions, to new moving parts. And then the baby comes, and it's not just a big party. It's harder than it was before.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And the satisfaction is greater than it was before.
Yeah.
But it's still not full, because that baby can't talk. we can't give you anything except poop diapers and, you know, and throw up and crying, right? Like yeah. every once in a while, it looks at you with those clouded eyes that can't even see you yet. And it does something that looks like smiling. And for you, it's the fullness of joy.
That's it, bro.
But fullness of joy keeps growing if you keep walking. The price gets bigger. My teenage daughter costs me more than my infant daughter ever did.
Of course.
But her smile and affection, as earth-shattering as it was when she was an infant and it was the first time I ever saw it, now she chooses it.
Yep.
And when she gives it to me, when I leave the house and I'm ready to leave without kissing her goodbye, and she comes to the bottom of the stairs and goes, Dad, like, Dad, please give me a kiss before you leave.
That's it, bro. That's it.
Like, the baby doesn't have any choice. I'm going to kiss the heck out of it, whether it wants it or not. But now that I have a 14-year-old daughter who says, Dad, please don't leave before you give me a kiss. And we're not done yet.
Yeah.
Right? Like, man, everything in life has those cycles.
Definitely. And I think it doesn't matter what it is in our lives, man.
Yeah.
We get to see it as a baby, as it grows up. But I think the most important thing of all, like when we talk about children, is the legacy. Because it's not about us anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was married, it was all about me and my wife. But when we have our first child, it's all about him. You know? We live a good life, but now it's about making his life being good. And that's the whole thing, man. I mean, satisfaction when it comes to a couple is not only sex.
Yeah.
But it's the point where you have a child and you have a legacy that completes that satisfaction. Because now you're not united because of a desire. You're united because of a fulfillment that came out of you, you know? Another person is in this world because of you too. Another person is here and is growing. And if you tend it well, it's going to leave a great legacy.
Sure.
It's going to expand your name. It's going to expand your dreams. Because I believe that whatever we cannot accomplish in this world, that will do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it will go on and on and on. And that is the dream of Yahweh.
Yeah.
It's not that he cannot accomplish anything. But he wanted a legacy.
Endless life together with something else.
Of course.
Taking something less and making it more. Bringing the decaying into the eternal.
That's it, bro.
Right? At his own expense. Like, you know, yeah, man. Like, that's it. You're just thinking about what you're saying. Like, it's first, the baby's the legacy. But then if that thing's allowed to mature, you're making legacies with your babies.
That's it.
Like now you've got babies and they're growing up and you're doing things together with them. Mm-hmm. You're leaving legacies in other areas of life, right? And you're eating from the same plate that you're planting on. Like, it's amazing. It's really amazing. You know, this life is not easy. Bro, all of these moments cause us to question, did I make the right choice? Is this where God... Because all of them come with the pain of childbirth.
Yeah.
Right? But that's the walk of faith. That's the thing that God has called us to. First and foremost, he's called us to say, will you see something greater than what's in front of you? Will you, in this dying world, choose to believe that I have something full of life for you?
Yeah.
That's the first... It's the first question. The first question with God is, and whether you come from it from the, God, forgive me, I'm in sin, I need repentance, or you come from it like, wow, I just experienced God and I have to follow. You know, yes. Some of us, it doesn't matter. Some of us get caught in a moment of glory and come to Jesus. Others of us get caught in a moment of mourning and come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Either way, we see a picture of something greater than we've seen. A glimpse of something greater than we've already seen. And the call is, will you trust me to see more? Will you come deeper? Will you walk on water with me? And man, the minute we say yes to that, like God opens the universe to us. But it is painful. The exchange, man, like the exchange of going from a world where this earth is your reality to being called up into a life where you can see his reality in this world,
yeah,
man, you have to be torn away from everything you know, from every reality, from every hurt, from every burn, from every single disappointment. Like those things that want to mark us and hem us in and say, no, these are the limitations of life. You know, failed marriage, you come from a broken background, you know, addiction is in your life. Whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, God has given us the opportunity to come deeper, higher, and to be called into something greater. And you have to surrender to him,
mm-hmm,
to see that. Man, like you have to bow your knee to the king.
Definitely.
But if you do, there is a life of absolute glory on the other side. First and foremost in him, you get to taste him. Man, we get to like glimpses of, moments of a life of walking with the eternal God.
Yeah.
Then we've been given the pleasure and the responsibility of sowing that into the world, whether it's through childbearing, whether it's through a business that seeds life into others now, whether it's through, you know, finances and community and government, it doesn't matter. Like God's given us these other ways to eternally impact the universe. Like that's
for sure.
Amazing. You know, it's so much greater than what we see sometimes.
Yeah, man. I think the whole thing about Ecclesiastes and what we're talking about is just to know that God has already spoken a word and it's gonna happen no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, verse 14, and I know that whatever God does is final.
Yeah.
Nothing can be added or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him. What is happening now has happened before, and what will happen in the future has happened before. Because God makes the same things happen over and over again. To know that whatever situation we are in, somebody else has experienced it already. Not yeah. one time, but many times. And to understand that sometimes where we're trying to do something new in our own yeah. ends up being something that somebody did already. Yet God makes all things new.
Yep.
And when he comes into our lives and he starts living in our lives, then we really start making new things.
Yeah.
But it's not because of us, it's because of him. Because he's the one that makes a new thing. And, you know, for me, it challenges me every day because I know that whatever I go through, if he is with me,
yeah.
then everything is worth it.
Yep.
Because right now I'm going through a lot of things,
sure.
but I have the peace of the Lord in my heart. And that makes me go through everything, man.
Yeah, bro.
Because even when somebody could look into my life and say, oh, you're failing in this, 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 and that, I know that the peace of the Lord covers those things.
Yep.
Because it's not making me perform, but those things will align with his will because I'm hearing and obeying. And I think that's part of the lifestyle that we have chosen. It's not that everything is gonna be perfect. It's not that we're gonna be successful at everything. It's that whatever happens under his will, it will align with whatever he has spoken over our lives. You know, like we were talking about before, it's that moment that we took to consecrate with the Lord. And in that year, I know in my life, he puts dreams and new things to look for, and it doesn't mean that it will happen immediately, but it means that it's coming, and he has been coming quickly for 2,000 years, so it's not in a hurry, you know. He's just gonna come in the specific time, in the time that he sees that, you know. It's like Solomon said here, God has made everything beautiful in its own time. So he has appointed a time for everything, and it's gonna be beautiful when we get there.
Yeah.
Because right now might be a lot of imperfection, unsatisfaction, things that we judge in our lives as not being what we think it's gonna be.
Yeah.
But when it gets to its time, the time that was appointed by God, then everything is gonna be beautiful and aligned with His will, and then we will see it's gonna make it worth it.
Yeah.
You know? So I just think that all the things that the Lord has showed me is to prepare me for what is coming. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it doesn't mean that everything is gonna be perfect. It doesn't mean that it will run through the way that I'm expecting. But it's not about those things. It's about what the Lord spoke already.
One of the things that always sort of hits me when I read Ecclesiastes is Solomon's on this search to try everything, right? Like it's this search to find satisfaction in life.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us in some way are on this journey. The beauty of life, though, with walking with God, is that we can be searching and satisfied at the same moment.
Hmm.
And I think that sometimes is where we miss it.
Yeah.
I really think that's the difference with Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, is, you know, you're not ever gonna fill the hunger of the human belly, right? You're not ever gonna fill those things.
That's true.
But you can walk in step with God and constantly be renewed and refreshed all the time. There's a satisfaction in Him. Just in Him, period. I just want to share this quick story.
Yeah.
When the Lord spoke to us about this restaurant, before He spoke to us about the restaurant, He spoke to us about believing Him for $200,000. And my wife and I, for a year, we didn't enjoy that He told us that, because we didn't understand where it fit and we had no definition for it.
Yeah.
And so the Lord would tell us and we'd go, all right, for what? The Lord would speak, and it was over and over again. Can you believe me? Can you trust me for $200,000? Yeah, sure, God, why? Give me the reason, and then I can trust you. It was almost like we took that, like, we needed to make it happen.
Yeah.
And so we needed to have credibility. Like, God asked us the question, and because we were unsettled in our own hearts, motivations, all sorts of different things,
yeah,
didn't trust the conversation with Him, you know, is God really asking us that? Yeah, I think a lot of times God says good things to us. He plants promises in our heart, or He does things, and because we don't trust ourselves, we don't trust Him.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, we don't trust ourselves with what He's spoken. And so we wrestle and we ask Him for more information. We ask Him, help me to understand it, and then I'll trust what you say. And we lose the joy of the simplicity of a dad. Like when I look at my son, right? And I say, buddy, don't be upset. Don't be bothered because you're not doing what you want to do right now. I promise you I have something better.
Yeah.
Just trust me. Just wait. I'm going to take you somewhere better. And he's kind of looking at me skeptical. Just tell me where, and then I can relax. No, son, I want you to enjoy this ride, and I want you to enjoy the anticipation.
Yeah.
I want you to laugh with me while you have no clue where I'm taking you. But because he doesn't know the destination yet, he struggles to trust whether or not it's a good journey. This is the walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord is looking at us, seeding our hearts with things He wants us to believe for, things He wants us to trust Him in. And we're going, if you just tell me, if you just show me, if you just give me, God, give me something concrete. Just sign on the dotted line somewhere so I know you're going to fulfill your word. And He's like, I signed with my blood. Do you understand? Like, I signed with the blood of my son on a cross. I promise you good.
Yes.
Will you just come for the walk with me? I want you to learn to laugh when nothing seems sure. I want you to learn to enjoy the ride. So for a year, Nikki and I struggled to believe for $200,000 because we didn't understand where it fit.
Yeah.
We, in our own hearts, didn't feel settled and we didn't have a clear conscience. We didn't trust ourselves to believe for $200,000. because we thought it would be selfish. We didn't trust that that was the voice of God, because at the time we could have used $200,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're in your own heart, you're going, God, you know, is that me? Was that you? All right, show me why it's you. Give me the vision for it. And God's going, I just want you to enjoy the ride. And it took a year for God to speak to the restaurant.
Yeah.
And the restaurant's budget was $200,000.
Wow.
So for an entire year, we didn't enjoy the process of believing him for something that was beyond us.
Yeah.
Because we didn't understand where it fit. And God's going, I spoke it, it fits, trust me. Will you enjoy this process now? Will you let me, you know, it's like when I put my son in the car and I go, I'm gonna take you somewhere. Where, Dad? Just trust me and let's have fun on the way. And he's frustrated because he didn't wanna get off the couch because he was playing a video game. And he would have rather settled for another hour of the video game than the fact that I was gonna take him to a theme park.
Come on.
But the minute he gets to the theme park, he's like, thank God you took me off the couch.
That's it.
But the whole hour, I'm playing this game with him in the car where he's like, is this really where I want to be? And it's like, you could have just enjoyed the ride with me.
Yeah, come on.
And that's what Jesus is after with us. That we would trust him that everything's good. If we would just trust him every part of the walk, even the hour in the car that we don't have patience for, when we could be playing our video game at home instead, is so much more worth it if we learn to enjoy him and trust him in the words he speaks, because he's gonna get us there.
Yeah.
He's gonna get us there. But we do all these weird things on the ride. We measure ourselves against others. We look at other people. We're driving past the theme park that we're about to pull into. We don't know we're going there yet. And we see people on the rides and we're jealous of them. We're jealous that they're enjoying. We see people driving past us on the way home with ice cream cones in their hand, and we're jealous of them because they're enjoying. And God's literally got us on the road to our own party. But we're not enjoying because we don't know where it ends.
Exactly.
But we do. He told us. The only reason we don't know where it ends is because we don't trust. So, yeah, like I'm sitting in the end of that word.
Yeah.
And for a year, I didn't know how to enjoy it with him. I spent a year going, God, what does this $200,000 mean? And then God spoke the restaurant. So, yeah, I mean, to me, that's the story of Ecclesiastes. It's a man who's trying to find satisfaction in moments rather than trusting in what God spoke over his life.
That's it.
And the moments all run out. But had he just jumped into the word over his life, the fullness of what God was doing, he would have lived as the king. He would have lived as the one who built the temple in the kingdom, even before it happened. Because God already said it.
Yep.
But Solomon lived with a hunger that he tried to satisfy in all the other places.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's just the story of our lives, you know? We don't live satisfied with his word and him. We're trying to fulfill it out of its time. And so we come up empty.
Yeah, because we think we can help God.
Yeah.
Or we think, oh, well, let me just position myself in this way to make it happen quicker. Because we don't like to wait. And even when sometimes we have a degree of patience,
sure,
it runs out because we in the natural cannot see it.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me in our life was, you just gotta trust that I'm good and I will never disappoint you.
Yeah, man.
And sometimes we need to position ourselves in that. He is good. And that's part of his nature.
Yeah.
He's not trying to play games with us to see if we can survive this or we can pass this test. It's not about that.
No.
It's about building our character. It's about cherishing what he's going to give us.
Yeah.
Because if God puts, if we as parents put a Lamborghini in a four-year-old, what is he going to do with it? He cannot even reach. He doesn't know how to drive. He don't know how to put it on the street.
The best thing he's going to do is tear the visor off. You know, like break the switches.
Yeah. He will start just playing with the buttons. Sure. And but he will not understand the fullness of what that car means.
No, not at all.
Not until he is fully mature to drive and to really want that. Because at 4 years old, a kid will not want that. It's too big. It's uncomfortable. But once we grow and we get to that point where we cherish a car and we say, oh, wow, this is a special car. This is really, really special. And I think that's the same thing of what God is trying to do with us. Yeah. Sometimes we think we're mature in some areas, but we're still so young.
Yeah.
We're still learning to walk with Him. And we want to handle things that He wants to give us that we're not prepared for. So the only good thing that He can do is promise them to us. That's His goodness. I promise you, this is coming. I promise you, I will give you this. I promise you, you will get there. And like you said, we are the whole ride trying to figure out, complaining, and trying to just, are we there yet? Or,
oh
man, look at this guy, he's so happy, and it's coming from the place that you're going to, you know? And that's exactly right, man. And, you know, for me, it's just the whole cycle of life. We want things, we desire things because we see it in other people, but we are not really living in their lives. We do not really know what is in their hearts. Some people have all the money in the world, yet they're miserable. Some people have many things that they want, yet they're unhappy. So what is the deal with it? You know? And I just feel that the Lord has brought us into a place to value life from a different perspective.
Yeah.
The point that I wanted to make with all this is that I believe the Lord is giving us an invitation to live a life, live from a perspective of an absolute being. And what that means is that I'm not trying to do things anymore. I'm letting Him do it through me.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to be fulfilled personally or to get to the point that I always envisioned. But I'm on a point where I can do the most of what I can in my life while living a legacy as well.
Yeah.
Living in the fullness of what that means. Because it's not about us anymore. It's about our children, but yet it's still about us.
Sure.
Because it doesn't mean that God is done with us. But if we can live a life where we can have a perfect balance in terms of us living a full life and living a full life for our children, then I believe that's going to be the whole circle. Because that's the way that we honor what spiritual fathers and brothers did for us in the past.
Yeah.
That allow us to live this lifestyle. That allow us to come to the degree where we're trying to be, not trying, but we are in a place where we're being free of religion and coming into living into the fullness of life.
Yeah.
With Yahweh, just walking with Him daily and just experiencing Him in ways that we have never experienced before. And just bringing the kingdom of God on earth, which sometimes it doesn't come from heaven, but just comes from in front of us as God unveils it before us. And as He appears before us and unveils His wonderful and magnificent being to us because He loves us, because His heart is just to be with us and reveal Himself completely to us. And I think that the point where we are in life, whether it is with a new business, whether it is working, whether it is in whatever area that we are in life, if we can position ourselves to try to live into the fullness of the life that He has envisioned for us, then everything else will just align to that reality.
Yeah, man.
So, man, I don't know if you have any closing statements or anything else in your heart.
Yeah, it's just, I just think about life cycles and fullness. Like, we can walk this thing out hand in hand with Him.
Yeah.
Like, He's given it to us that we can taste as we eat, as we walk, as we live. Like, we can experience Him along the way.
Yeah.
And man, like, we miss that because we are so consumed because we don't believe and we don't trust. And so we need him to constantly talk us through, constantly tell me the end, show me the, you know, what's coming.
Yeah.
And this is just, this is the entire process of faith, is learning to just understand that he's good and he's not going to let us down. He has never, ever let me down, ever.
Yeah.
The only failures I've ever experienced are ones that I brought myself to.
Exactly.
And those failures were all redeemed. They're all being redeemed by him. He's the good news attached to my life. I'm not the good news attached to his. He's the good news attached to mine.
That's it, bro.
And Ecclesiastes, like this conversation, it's something that I heard years ago. Not that I understand it to fullness now, but I have enough walking with him behind me now that I'm seeing things he spoke years ago that seem dead and gone. I'm seeing that you're sitting in one right now. The first time the Lord ever spoke the restaurant into my life was in 2001. You know, this is 2018, right? Like 17 years later, this is a reality that God's taken me so many other places to be. And I know at any point before this, had he allowed this to come into being, it would have been a bastard child. It would not have been the right timing. It would have been the wrong baby at the wrong moment.
Yeah.
But this is something he did entirely. And it's a lifetime of experiences. It's the mission field. It's Africa. It's child raising. It's parenting. It's marriage. It's walking with the Lord. It's seeing his grace. It's healing. It's transformation. It's failure. It's humility. It's having been broken. It's all of those things. He put it together. You know, and that's just, man, he is good and there's no way around it. And if we allow him to walk us through, we'll find ourselves in moments where his word is fulfilled more than we could ever imagine.
That's for sure, man. All I can say is that his love for us is perfect.
Yeah.
And in our own imperfection, we try to understand something that is perfect and we fail 100% of the time. Because we think, oh, I got something figured out about God. And then in an instant, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we will ever understand God fully or even scratch the surface until we become what he is.
Yeah.
But if one thing we can rely on, if one thing we can believe about God, is that he loves us.
Oh, for sure.
Is that he is good.
Yeah.
That his mercies are new every day and will endure forever. That when he says a word, he's not a man to withdraw it.
Yep.
That his word will never come back void. If one thing we can understand about God is that he is absolute. And when he says something, he knows the full intention and weight of that word. Yet he releases it, not on condition of what we can respond to it.
Yeah.
But in his goodness, he lays down that word and it will happen no matter what, man. So I'm just thankful and honored to see all this process in your life and be a witness of it and celebrate with you.
Yeah.
Because this has been so good, man. I'm telling you, and I know everybody in our host church feels the same way. We're just so happy for you guys and you have done this. And I know this is the beginning of something even greater and bigger. I know God has so many things for us, man. And you know, a lot of people, and this is something that they taught me for years, is that the good things in our lives will come when Jesus comes back. Yet Jesus is present right now. And good things is happening right now. We don't have to wait for him to come back. Not that we're not awaiting that, but he is here.
Yeah, he is.
You know, maybe the whole world cannot see him, but we're walking with him. Yeah. We are enjoying him. This is heaven on earth,
he
to be with
taste
him.
And see God.
I mean, what else?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other satisfaction. There's nothing else that really fills our heart and give us that accomplishment taste, like being with him.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying so much this lifestyle, man. I mean, for me, this is new. I've only been doing this for a year and a half, but this is it, man.
Yeah.
I want nothing else, bro. Anyway, thank you for being with me, John. And if you are in Orlando, come by the Loop. It's called Pienezza or Pienezza, however you want to pronounce it. Doesn't matter at this point. Just come and taste it. Come see John. Come see his family. Enjoy pizza, a good place. Nothing's better around here, I'm telling you.
Yeah, bro.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
We'll see you guys on the next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of Brethren in Devotion. If you would like to support this podcast, please go to facebook.com/brethreninDevotion.